You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And as we continue our Missions Emphasis Month, we've been talking with various ministries from other parts of the world and from all over to the uttermost parts of the unreached people groups. We are also talking about our need and ministries that are local, that are right here in our own backyard. And today we're going to be talking with Andy Crone, who is a missionary with Awana. I'm sure you're familiar with Awana, but we're going to find out more about the impact of the ministry and some things that you might not know about the ministry, what they're involved in and what they're doing for the sake of the kingdom of God. Andy, thank you so much for being a part of our Missions Emphasis Month.
You're welcome, and I'm glad to be here, Adam.
Well, why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about Awana? I'm sure that many of our listeners are familiar with it. I grew up with Awana, growing up in the Midwest, and I know that you have a strong presence still here in New England. But for our listeners who might not know about the ministry, can you tell us a little bit about what Awana does and what its purpose is?
Absolutely. Awana actually started back in 1941. It was by two gentlemen, and it was in Chicago. And they were just trying to reach children. They had this idea of having a fun type of club, reaching children for the Lord. And then in 1950, it was established as Awana Youth Association. And from that time, it started growing. They came out with a movie in 1957 about hitting the mark. People started seeing this, and then it just started growing from there. The first layman missionary with Awana was Leo Spencer in 1962. And then in that time, Art Rohrheim, one of our founders, who's over 98 years of age, still alive, still spreading the gospel, he and Leo began traveling all over the Northeast and began sharing the gospel and planting churches and seeing children impacted with the gospel in a mighty way. There are churches all over New England. In fact, the Northeast is the very first area that I've been aware of that they actually started to travel. And since that time, Awana has grown. It's in 117 countries, reaching 3.5 million children around the globe with the gospel. And we are seeing some amazing things happen here in our own neck of the woods. The Northeast is 10 different states, and we have 8 different missionaries in the Northeast trying to reach this. You know, as we look around us, it's a darkened region, but there's still light.
You know, I think about the role that Awana played in my life and what an impact it had. Scripture memory was a huge component. I'm still reciting verses that I learned back in my Awana days. They've stayed with me. It's truly hiding God's word in your heart. That has become a huge core for the Awana ministry. Am I right?
Yes, it is. Awana has 5 key principles. First of all, it's centered on the gospel. We want children that come to an Awana club to know about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first, foremost, and always. There's a lot of resources we have that every time they walk in the door, the starting booklets, the starting point is always with the gospel first. And then the second component is scripture memory is key. But it's not just memorizing scripture, but we're looking at the worldview of a child is getting younger and younger and younger. With the media exposure, with things that children are seeing on Facebook, online, and everywhere else, the media, it's so easy to access things. So we've got a group up at home office that really started to look at what are children learning around this culture that we live in. And they're looking at with the materials that they're coming out with one of the programs called Truth and Training. This year, it's been restructured to called Grace in Action. And this new one, it's when they're memorizing a verse, they're also, the leaders are working with them through their books and going deeper into what that verse means, how other scripture applies to that verse. So they're not just simply looking at a page and saying, okay, this is the verse. You know, when I went to school, I recited spelling words, I recited history lessons, I could get up and say things, but ultimately, scripture is what's going to help them for a lifetime. There's been studies on children that have learned scripture, and it's well over 93%. And I think this was in the Barna study, but 93% of children that go through Awana stay faithful in church as adults. That shows that the Word of God has a profound effect into the lives of children now and in the past and into the future. As long as the Lord tarries, we want to see Scripture planted, but also, what does it mean? How does it apply to today's world?
And Awana also is based in the local church. This isn't a ministry that you're doing outside of the church in clubs. You rely upon the local churches to minister to the youth in their community, correct?
That is correct. We are a parachurch ministry, which means we come right alongside of the church to impact their Jerusalem, their Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. You know, ministry starts right at home. We are trying to work with pastors. So many times pastors feel they go it alone in ministry. So we are there to stand beside pastors to show them how they can take the materials Awana utilizes, and then we stand with churches to see this wonderful program implemented in their communities, and just to, you know, with the fun, the excitement, the scripture memory, how it can impact these children for a lifetime to come.
Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Awana. I know you personally, we met at the Why Jesus conference up there in Bangor, Maine, back this year, actually. And
yes.
We were just two tables away, so it was a great time to spend there. But tell us a little bit about your story, because it's pretty remarkable how you got involved with Awana.
Back in 2011, I was actually serving as a police officer. I had been in law enforcement between Virginia and New Hampshire for many years. I was raised in a Christian home. I came to faith in Christ when I was 5 years of age, but then when I was 16, I truly surrendered to ministry. I felt God calling me and impressively on me to want to serve Him more. And through my life growing up, I come from a blended home. I've got two wonderful parents. My mom sings gospel music, which is kind of awesome. I travel with her. And then growing up, you know, my parents divorced, and then in come step-siblings. But I went to Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida in 1988. Come home, you know, being one of 13 children, it was hard for my parents to afford for me to go to school. So I worked. I actually pursued law enforcement, serving my community in Virginia. Then the Marines came into play in there. And then in 2005, my wife and I moved to New Hampshire, where I still continued serving in law enforcement. And then in 2011, you know, when God calls you and God truly says, "You're mine," He doesn't let go. I was involved in a pursuit gone wrong, and a guy blew through a stop sign in front of me. I stopped him, and when I walked up on his car, he took off at a high rate of speed. I got in my cruiser, buckled up, and off to the races we go, as they would say. And when we were going into the next town over, I was working for the Milton, New Hampshire police. When we go into the next town over, I hit sand in the roadway, my cruiser did, and I hit a tree at 83 miles an hour. And I was an advanced accident investigator, worked with the Stratford County TAR team. I've seen many motor vehicle crashes, and everyone's like, "You shouldn't be alive." Well, there's only one reason I'm alive, and that's because of God's grace and His mercy upon my life. So when I came to, the one thing I wanted was my Bible in the back of my duty bag. I wanted to pray with a chaplain, and so I was able to pray before surgery. I came through the surgery. I broke my femur in two places, broke 8 ribs, had a torn up knee, but I had breath in my lungs. So in the back of the police officer Bible, I saw a story called "Great Is Thy Faithfulness." And it talked about a police officer that was injured, didn't die, but the hymn he heard at church when he went was "Great Is Thy Faithfulness." So I started praying, "Lord, what do you want done?" And after 3 surgeries on my femur, the doctors all determined I was not going back to be a police officer. We started attending Newt Ridge Bible Chapel in Milton, New Hampshire. And when we went there, they had a Awana club. And the gentleman that stood up, his name was Doug Gregory. He's still involved at the church with the upper youth. He stood up and said, we need help. We need helpers with Awana. We need you to step up. And I just really felt the Holy Spirit going, go talk to him. So I walked over, we conversed, and we got involved with Awana. This was about a year and a half after the first crash, or after my initial ordeal. And then, through the recovery, I began helping. The year after I helped, the pastor asked me, our home pastor asked me to step up to be the commander. My wife and I prayed about it. We stepped up together to run this club when we saw many children coming. Through that time, there was no missionary in Maine and New Hampshire, so we decided to just kind of explore what is God leading us to. My wife's a school teacher, deals with children. As a police officer, most of my career, I was a school resource officer. We love children. We have three of our own. And so then I joined the ministry team in Maine and New Hampshire to work with these churches up here to try and stand in the gap. But I kept hearing, we need a missionary. We need someone to step up. So I kept praying, God, show me your will. And it was like a 2x4 hit me in the head. Wake up. This is where I'm calling you. So we applied. I applied. And when I applied, as I was getting ready to hit enter to send the application out, I said, Lord, if this isn't your will, let one glitch come into play. 4 months later, no glitches. I was still in my final interview, and we began our deputy process less than 2 years ago. And in less than a year's time, February 1st of this year, in fact, I was told I was going to be the full-time missionary. God's people have stepped up. We've got a lot of partners in ministry throughout Maine, New Hampshire, and some down south where I grew up. But we've seen God do some amazing things through this process of wanting to serve Him. And, we just want to see children and families impacted for a lifetime.
And the time that you've been serving as the missionary for Awana there in New Hampshire and Maine, can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're able to do in working with the churches and equipping them to work with their youth?
Absolutely. We are, like I said, we're a parachurch ministry, so we go in, we do club visits, we've got people all the time, they'll say, our commanders and leaders will sit there and go, can you evaluate us? So I'll go in and I'll just kind of watch and I'll stand there, and I've actually gone in and taught the large group time is what it's called. Like sometimes it was formerly known as council time. But I go in and I talk to the kids. We also get letters from children all over the region, and I'll write them back. Anytime I get a letter from a church or a clubber, I love to write them back, because that's where children are getting engaged, that relational ministry. Just like Jesus Christ was relational to us, we're trying to be that same relation. We're called to be Christ's hands and feet. Not just his voice, but we're called to be hands and feet. So anytime we get these letters, it's just a joy to see how children are doing, the pictures they draw. I've got a cabinet already half full of letters, but we write them. We go there. We stand with them. We, like I said, we teach, we train, we do pulpit supply. I'm also building connections with pastors, because so many times, through my training over the years, through seminary training and college training and everything, we hear pastors go it alone. Pastors are feeding so much. Who's helping take care of them? Who's standing with them? They have the congregation they're trying to take care of, but who's taking care of them? So the one thing that we've been doing more and more of is going in, partnering with pastors, standing with pastors. We also, part of our stuff we do is we do pastor, commander, director meetings over the summertime. We do fall conferences. Right now is the fall conference season. There's conferences, in fact, this October 1st in West Garner, Maine. October 15th, I have a conference in Epsom, New Hampshire, at Epsom Bible Church. So we have, these training conferences. We have basic trainings. We do getting started. We have anything you can think of resource-wise. With the new Grace in Action, we've gone around either online, where I can just Zoom in with people right in their home, commanders, we can meet. We've done trainings in person, online. We don't want to see anyone go without the tools they need. One saying in the basic training part of things is people would share their faith more if they had the right tools to do it. You know, everywhere we look, there are tools in ministry, there are resources, but if we're not doing that as, you know, trained leaders like the Awana missionaries are, if we're just not going out to help churches, then we're disobeying a command. You know, we're to stand and help train and make disciples. God calls all of us to do that, but, you know, we're these ones that are direct representatives of what Art Rohrheim and Doc Latham first did. We need to take that vision out and show people how they can stand better to reach their communities for Christ.
And Awana is doing a lot of great things. When I was talking with you back at the Why Jesus Conference in Maine, you were telling me about your prison ministry that Awana is doing, and now you're also doing something for grandparents as well. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about kind of the fact that Awana is not just reaching youth anymore, they're reaching people of all ages?
Correct. Awana, and it really gripped my heart to see this happen. But, you know, as a police officer all those years, you know, I would play Christian music in the car. One of our local radio stations in the area carries your station, you know, your broadcast. But whenever I would have someone in the car taking me to jail, I played Christian radio, and sometimes people would look at me and be like, maybe I need to rethink my life. I'm like, you know, maybe you should. You know, instead of going out and drinking, maybe you should be taking care of your family. But as I've gotten involved more with Awana, I saw this thing called Awana Lifeline. Awana Lifeline is training fathers and mothers to be the fathers and mothers in their home. You know, when a child needs their dad, when children grow up without a father in the home, a lot of bad things happen. We look at the statistics, look at the research, and one of my favorite movies is the movie Courageous. I've watched that, and in there they talk about fatherless homes, what happens. But the program for men in this Awana Lifeline is called Malachi Dads, and it comes from Malachi 4:6, and when a father's heart is changed, they'll then impact the children. The children will in turn be brought back to the father. And it's so cool to see, but Awana Lifeline has developed this Malachi Dads, but they also have Hannah's Gift. They're also impacting women in prison. Hannah, if we remember her story from Scripture, her account, when she wanted a child, she said, Lord, if you give me this child, if you grant me this child, he's yours. He'll be raised in you, you know, your faith. She turned it back to the Lord. She said, he's your child. So these are the two programs that come up with, and they're not just programs, but I went down in May to the Louisiana State Prison, which if anyone has ever heard of Angola Prison, it was known as one of the bloodiest prisons in the United States. Right now is one of the most godly prisons in the U.S. and in the world. Warden Kane had this vision of transforming lives. His mother, actually, from what I remember, his mother challenged him that these men's souls are in your hands. What are you doing with it? So he's brought the Awana in, he brought Art in, and one of our former presidents, to see the transformation going on within these men's lives. So now every year at down at the Angola prison, in fact, we have one of our mission, our regional director, he puts a team together, and I went with him last year. His name's Doug Shonite. Doug took a team from the Northeast to the Louisiana State Prison for the Returning Hearts Celebration. And I went down, and I was fortunate to go down and see the transformation within the inmates' lives because of the gospel. And their creed and cry is that they will still make an impact within their children's lives. It's called the Malachi Dad's Pledge. So they take this pledge, they have a graduation, they're going through a program through that year, and then they're being mentored, and they continue to be mentored. And then once they graduate, they're reunited with their children for a full day within the prison, and then they, in turn, are witnessing to their children. They're sharing the gospel with their children from behind bars. The one thing that the assistant warden, when we were touring the prison, Adam, he said was the average life sentence that is given to an inmate is 93 years. That's the average time they're going to be behind bars. And so when we see that, it's like, what's the hope? Acts 4:12 tells us that Jesus, no other name under heaven is given among men by which we must be saved. And that's Jesus Christ. He's that transforming power. His blood can take the hardest of criminals and turn their lives around. So this lifeline started in jails, and it's gone into prisons. Right now, it is in more than 50 prisons and jails throughout the U.S. The Chicago Sun Tribune's done reports on it. USA Today has done reports on it. If people go to awanalifeline.org, there's videos. You can see some of the testimonials of things that are happening from the inmates, from reports that are done. They can see how this ministry is really reshaping what's happening and how men, when they come to Christ, they're turning it around. They're still able to make the impact. You see those reunions when the children are hugging their daddies and saying, I love you. No matter what you've done, Christ forgave you. And I can turn it around now because I see my father. He's now walking with the Lord. I was linked up with a child and his grandfather. And this child has come 6 years to the Returning Heart Celebration. And he said that his grandfather led him to Christ from behind bars. And he has ever since when he's like, as I'm walking him back, because you're with the child mainly, you're not there for the inmate, but you're there for the child. But he told me, he goes, my grandfather lives it, so am I. And that showed me that the power of the gospel is so powerful. It's the greatest thing that if men and women would allow themselves to be transformed, man, amazing things happen. But then we also have what's called the Legacy Coalition. Larry Fowler, who's been with Awana for 30-plus years, he was a missionary, then he was part of the home office staff. Larry has an awesome video. If people ever want to go and watch it, you can go to YouTube, download it. It's called The Value of the Gospel, Larry Fowler, and that talks about why Awana is first about the gospel. Larry left the home office. He went back to where his grandkids are, and he started looking around churches because he noticed that the senior saints are bringing their grandchildren to church. You look around the generational gaps that are happening within our churches. Larry was watching this, and then he started getting asked, hey, what is there for grandparents? What is there for grandparents? And he started looking, and he found very few resources at all. So Larry started talking to some well-known pastors like Crawford Loritz, Chuck Swindoll, Josh McDowell, Gary Chapman. He's talked to these guys, and they're all coming together November 15th down in Frisco, Texas, for a summit called the Legacy Grandparenting Summit in Frisco, Texas. They are going to show grandparents what it's about, how they can still be impactful in their home, all based on Scripture. Part of our conference here in New Hampshire, Maine, and a few of the other missionaries are doing it, we have a gentleman that lives in Connecticut named Dr. Glenn Havlimacki, who is going to be coming to Maine this October 1st weekend, and then the 15th, and he's going to do two topics on courageous grandparenting and the biblical role of grandparents. Dr. Glenn has been doing seniors ministry for 40-ish years, and he's written a couple books. One of his books was published in 2012. It actually won second place on Trashed or Treasured. But Glenn has been witnessing and ministering to senior saints for years, but he's going to do these two topics of courageous grandparenting and the biblical role of grandparents, because if there's breath in your lungs, we still need to give it back to the Lord.
This is a remarkable thing to see how the ministry of Awana is being carried forward and doing great things for the kingdom of God. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the needs that Awana has and the needs that they might be aware of, ways that Awana can help them and their church and their community as they seek to reach out to people with the gospel?
Well, one of the needs is, we just want more churches to catch the vision of what's happening with Awana. So many times Awana, the one thing that's really neat about Awana being in 117 countries is it's reaching into more than 100 different denominations. So so many times we'll hear, you know, a denomination, Awana is non-denominational. We don't want what's written over the door of a church to be what is first impacting people. It's what's written over your heart. One of the guys up at Awana home office, his name's Jeremy Pettit, he goes, you know, Awana is for your church, but it's not only for your church. So one of our missionaries, Ken Hoffmeyer, he travels. He's the missionary in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut. Ken is going to every Bible-believing evangelical church and dropping stuff off. The one thing we need is just, you know, churches to just meet with us, talk to us. Let us show them this wonderful resource that can impact their children. You know, we're here for them. We're here to stand with them in a mighty way. The other thing we need is we just need prayer. You know, we are in, as I said before, you know, you look at the New England region, three of the darkest states, and we're just a small percentage off of being one of the darkest regions in the world from what we've been learning. But we need prayer. We need support, partners to come alongside of us for prayer. You know, we're also saying that, you know, the work we're doing, we're traveling. An average missionary travels between 35 and 40,000 miles a year. We're on the road all the time. You know, if I've got churches where I live, my furthest church away is about a 6.5-hour drive one way. And that's all the way up to Caribou, Maine. And then I've got another church that is in Winchester, New Hampshire. So if you look at my span, if I drove from point A to point B and then back, it's about a 20-hour trip. You know, so we cover, if you look at how big Maine is and then combine New Hampshire in there, for me, it's a lot of miles on the road, a lot of, you know, wear and tear on the vehicles, all that. But our need is just that churches would just listen and let us stand and learn how we can stand better with them. I'm not saying that they should assume things about Awana, because it's all about the gospel. You know, we're here to partner with them. We are an evangelical ministry. It's all about getting the gospel out and then training kids to serve them.
We have been talking with Andy Crone with Awana. He's the area missionary in New Hampshire and Maine as he serves our local community here in the Northeast and New England. Andy, thank you so much for telling us more about Awana and the ministry that it has and the impact it's making for the sake of the gospel.
You're very welcome, Adam. And one thing that if people want to find out more about us, we have a website. They go to awananortheast.org. That's a resource that people can go in. They can learn about us as well. They can also download. There's resource in there that they can look at. It tells about all of our events. It gives all the information they would need to find everything that is involved with Awana in this Northeast region.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.